ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् This is Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text Number 31. Today we are continuing this description of the appearance of Shukdev Goswami. So, please repeat Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 31.
Prashantam Asinam Akunthamethasam Munim Nripaha Bhagavataha Abhyupetya Pranamya Murhna Avahitaha Kritanjalihi Natva Gira Sunrataya Anuvapritchat Prashantamasinamukunthamethasam Muninrapo Bhagavato Bhyupetya Pranamya Murshnavahita Kritanjalir Natvagiras Sunratayan Vapritsat Prashantamasinamukunthamethasam Munim nripo bhagavato bhyupetya Pranamya murhnavahita kritanjalir Natva girasun ratayan vapritchat
Sayan Vipritchat Prashantamasinamakunthamethasam Munim Nripo Bhagavato Bhyupetya Pranamya Murhnavahita Kritanjalir Natva Girasun Ratayan Vipritchat Ladies,
Prashantamasinamakunthamethasam Munim Nripo Bhagavato Bhyupetya Pranamya Murhnavahita Kripanjalir Natva gira sunratayan vapritchat prashantam
perfectly pacified. Asinam sitting. Akunta without hesitation. Medhasam, one who has sufficient intelligence. Munin, unto the great sage. Nripaha, the king, Maharaj Parikshit. Bhagavataha, the great devotee. Abhyapetya, approaching him. Pranamya, bowing down. Murhna, his head. Avahita, properly. Krita Anjalihi, with folded hands. Natwa, politely. Gira, by words. Sunrataya, in sweet voices. Anuaprithat, inquired. Translation. The sage Sri Shukadev Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent, and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him, and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. The sage Shukadev Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent, and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him, and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The gesture now adopted by Maharaj Parikshit of questioning a master is quite befitting in terms of scriptural injunctions. The scriptural injunction is that one should humbly approach a spiritual master to understand the transcendental science. Maharaj Parikshit was now prepared for meeting his death. And within the very short time of 7 days, he was to know the process of entering the kingdom of God. In such important cases, one is required to approach a spiritual master. There is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of life. One who does not know how to put questions before the spiritual master has no business seeing him. And the qualification of the spiritual master is perfectly manifested in the person of Shukadev Goswami. Both the spiritual master and the disciple, namely Sri Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami learned Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva, but he had no chance to recite it. Before Maharaj Parikshit, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam and answered the questions of Maharaj Parikshit unhesitatingly. And thus both the master and the disciple got salvation. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantigam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan
Sahaganalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Prashantamasinam, Akuntametasam, Munim, Naripo Bhagavato, Pupetya, Pranamya, Murhanyavata, Avahata, Kritanjilir Natva, Gira, Sunrutayanva Pratyat. The sage Sri Shukdev Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent, and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered his respects by bowing before him, and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. This verse is the archetype of Gurupada Ashraya in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sri Rupa Goswami outlines all the different angas of bhakti, sadhana bhakti in particular. And most important, first one is this. You have to approach a spiritual master. And, of course, that's something that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Which verse? Yes, who can recite? Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti tad jnanam Jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Two things that Krishna mentions there. Pariprasna and seva. Pariprasna, you have to have every question answered. Pari means all around, everything. You have to be fully satisfied. And you have to render service. This is what we see here. How do we hear submissively? This is the real process of learning something. Submission. And if you are fortunate enough to be socialized in traditional South Asian culture, this will be instilled in you at birth, because this humility permeates every aspect of traditional Indian civilization. And we see that time and time and time again in the examples that are given for that reason, for our benefit, in the Shastra. So this is one of them. And it's explaining a little bit more. We'll also explain a little bit more. There are several things here to consider. Prashantam, he's seated peacefully, asinam. And akuntamedasam, there are many things that we can look at in this verse. But for reasons that I don't know, our acharyas commenting on this verse, they have both Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as well as Sridhar Swami even, they choose two words here, akuntametasam and sunrataya. These are the two things, I suppose, that they may be unclear. So he explains. This morning after Mangalarati, we heard from the fourth canto about Vaikuntha, the place where there is no Kunta. What does Kunta mean? Misery, what else? Anxiety. It means quite a few things, actually. It means dull, lazy, foolish, lame, blunt. Just like in the first canto, first chapter also, text number 10. Anybody know that one? Prain alpayushaha sabhya kalavasman yugejanaha manda sumandamati. This is what characterizes us, especially in this Kali Yuga, This Bhagavatam is spoken just at the juncture between Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. So we're slow, we're dull, we're impeded. And therefore, because people who are slow, those who are not so smart, they suffer more. Intelligent people suffer less. Because real intelligence actually means to become godly, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, Kunta, Akunta. Akunta means the same thing as Vaikunta. So, how does Prabhupada translate it here? He says, without hesitation, in other words, without any impediment, as we've described, Maharaj Parikshit wants to know, Pariprashna, he has many questions, he wants answers. And without hesitation, Shukadeva Goswami is ready to give those answers. What is Maharaj Parikshit's character? Abhyupetya pranamya. He approaches this Shukadeva Goswami and he is offering his obeisances. Now, Sridhar Swami here, he says, pranamya prashnartham punarnatva. Because pranamya and natva, these two words mean more or less the same thing. Pranamya means you offer your pranams. And natva means you bow down, namami. They mean the same thing. So why is it repeated twice? In Sanskrit, we don't like to have redundance. This is considered to be a flaw. So he says, pranamya prashnartham punarnatva. He is again offering his obeisances because he has a question to ask. So he's offering obeisances just to show respect to the great Shukadeva Goswami, who is glorified in all the Vedic literatures. But when he has a specific question, he's again offering his obeisances. It's never enough. You can never bow down enough. So, this is what he says. And how is he further described here? Shukadeva Goswami, akuntamedhasam. Nakunta sarvarteshu medha yasya tam. That person whose intelligence in all matters, sarvarteshu, has no impediment, has no blockage, there's no laziness, dullness, foolishness, etc., as we've described already. Sarvarteshu. What does artha mean? Huh? Wealth, somebody? What else? Meaning? Gain, yes. We're truly a capitalist society because we know this much. Okay, this is a recidivistic microphone here. I need to hold it, right? Okay, so artha, actually, quite a few different things artha means. We should consider. Artha means your purpose. It means the subject at hand, the matter or concern or affair that you're dealing with. It means the facility to deal with it also. It means your aim. It means your motive also. What's making you go here? It's kind of like hetu. Artha means all the, and meaning it means also. Srimad Bhagavatasya Gurhartha. We talk about the confidential meaning of the Srimad. Meaning is also artha. So, in all these matters, in all things, in every subject, for every reason, whatever your, for all intents and purposes, as we say in English, he had intelligence. Unwavering intelligence. Ready intelligence. Therefore, he was without hesitation prepared to offer Maharaj Parikshit's questions. Okay. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says essentially the same thing. Prashnartham punarnatva sunrataya madhuraya gira. So he's glossing the word sunrata as madhura gira, sweet speech. Akunta metasam, and he explains this as nakunta sarvarteshu medhayasya te anuvarpachat. Same, exactly the same thing. Just rearranging the words a little bit. It means exactly the same thing. So for some reason, all of our acharyas have focused on these two words. All right, so sunrita, as we've described. This, what does sunrata mean? Anybody remember what did Prabhupada say?
Word for word it says,
in sweet voices. So he's following Vishwanath Chakravarti's definition here. Sunrita means joy. It means kindness. It means friendliness. It means mirth. It also means truth or veracity. Bookmark this. It's important. We'll come back to this in a moment. Basically, two meanings. It means something which is joy and something which is true at the same time. Now, it's often used in distinction with another term, similar term, anrita. Anrita means untruth or falsity. And when you get absorbed in that, you have no more any mirth, no more joy. You suffer. So, way back in the Mundaka Upanishad, part 3, chapter 1, verse number 6, there's a very famous verse which any Indian will immediately recognize because it's written on every rupee note. Satyameva jayate nanratam satyena pantha vitato devayanaha yena kramantirishayo hi atakamaha yatra tat satyasya paramam nidhanam. What is the meaning? Satyameva jayate. Truth only conquers. Nothing else. Money doesn't conquer necessarily. Truth conquers. Nanratam. Not untruth. And then he goes on to explain. Satyena panthavidato devayanaha. The path of the godly is spread through truth only. You have to be truthful. That is the only remaining leg of religion in this Kali Yuga. Yena kramanti rishayo hyaptakamaha. The rishis who are completely self-satisfied, have everything that they might desire already within themselves, they traverse this path. Yatra tat satyasya paramam nidhanam, which takes us where? To the ultimate repose. The ultimate nidhanam. Repository also, you can say. Of what? Tat satyasya, of that truth. Very, very deep ideas here from, again, Mundaka Upanishad, Shruti Mantra. So, these are two things we can look at. Now, the word sunrita has been used in other contexts as well in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the things that Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, chapter 19, text number 38, he's defining truth because Uddhava has asked him, what is this truth? What is reality? What is truth? He says, anyatcha sunratavani kavibhi prakirtita. Truth means to speak very sweetly in such a way that it is glorified by the sages, by the wise, kavibhi. Truth means to speak sweetly such that the sages are going to glorify your speech. That is truth. We know from chapter 17, text 15 of Bhagavad Gita, who knows the verse, about the austerity of speech. What is it? Vangmayam tapa uchyate. This austerity of speech, Krishna says, is said to be someone whose speech does not agitate another person or injure in any way, harm another person. In Sanskrit, a fancy word for speech itself, is spoken word, is girbana. What does girbana mean? Gi means speech. Bana, an arrow. Your words are like arrows. Any word you let fly from your mouth, it will not come back. So be careful, Prabhupada said. Think three times before you speak. Our words can change the world. The words are the only thing that ever have changed the world. W.H. Auden, the poet, he said, poetry makes nothing happen. Actually, poetry makes everything happen. That's its value. The world that we live in is desolate without the internal world that we live in. And that comes through speech only. So dear Bana. So sweet speech, Sundrata Vani.
One should speak, the Christians have a saying, my dear Lord, may my speech be very sweet and pleasing because tomorrow I may have to eat my words.
So Krishna says the austerity of speech is that it is, first of all, does not agitate another, offend another person, anudvega karam vakyam, and satyam, it has to be true at the same time. Now that's not so easy. That's a delicate balancing act, isn't it? Sometimes there's just no polite way to throw a hand grenade. Right? So that somebody really needs to hear something, you just have to tell them that, even though it's not so appealing, is maybe a better word. So you have to be very, very expert. Maybe this is why Krishna says, Atma upamyena sarvatra samam pashyo arjuna ityadi. What is it? So yogi paramomata. He says, the yogi who is supreme, in my opinion, is the person who has empathy. It's a great blessing to be able to understand another person enough to speak appropriately to that person. Not just anybody can do this. It's a blessing from above. I asked Gopi Puranadana Prabhu once, well, where does this come from? That was his answer. It's a gift from above. You cannot buy it. You cannot. You can try to practice it, but ultimately it's a gift, empathy. So, anudvegya karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat. Baladevda Bhushan has very nicely glossed all these terms, four terms. He says, etad visheshena chatushtayavat vakyam. What is that? First thing, it has to be anudvega karam, means udvegam or bhayam kasyapi yannakaroti. It never causes anyone to fear. If you agitate another person's mind, you're inducing some fear. Just like in chapter 4, text number 10, what does Prabhupada say about fear? Think. You have anybody know the verse, first of all? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashita bahavo jnana tapasaputa madbhava magata. What are the three things? Raga, bhaya, krodha. And with regards to bhaya, Srila Prabhupada, what does he say about this? If you know the purport, you it's very clear that purport. He was a lot of repetition in that one purport. Bhaya means to be afraid of your spiritual existence, and in particular to be afraid of personal, eternal personality. That is frightening to many people. They don't want to deal with it. That's why they look for nirvana instead. They want to become Buddhists or atheists. They can't actually deal with personality. So, if you present Krishna consciousness to another person in such a way that it agitates that fear, rather than, you know, samadhanam karoti, it resolves the fear, then you're not properly speaking, actually. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then the second thing Baladevida Bhushan says, satyam pramanikam. The definition of truth is a little different here. In the 11th canto, Krishna said truth means what? We just said this. Huh? Yes, speaking in such a way that it is approved by your authorities, Srila Prabhupada and all his predecessors. But here he gives a little different. He says, satyam pramanikam. Your speech has to be based on pramanas, authoritative. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to not be adding or subtracting from that message. You have to repeat faithfully and clearly. Then priyam, how does he say, define priyam? He says, shrotuhu priyam. It has to be pleasing, not to you. It has to be pleasing to the person who's hearing you. Again, some empathy is required. And hitam, beneficial. He says, pariname hitam. Later on, it's beneficial. Anybody thinking of some verses from chapter 17 or 18 about this? What is sweet in the beginning, but later on is miserable? Yes. And the same thing with sattvic happiness. It is maybe a little difficult in the beginning, but later on it's sweet. So here he's saying, it may be not evident in the beginning, but later on you have to appreciate. Pariname, when things change, then you appreciate, this person has done me a favor. I know because I had a lot of association with the late Tamal Krishna Goswami. And after 20 years, I realized why he did things the way he did. After 20 or 30 years, it took me. I'm slow. Kali Yuga. Parinami hitamcha. You realize that this person was showing me mercy. So, etad visheshena chatushtaya vridvakyam tatha swadhyayasya vedabhyasanam chavangmayam vacha nivartyam tapaha. The austerity of speech is to do these three things, four things, I'm sorry. Anudvegakaram, satyam, priyam, hitam, and he adds a fifth one. What is that? It's very closely related to satyam, pramanikam. To be authoritative, to speak authoritatively, what do you have to do? You have to give the pramana. You have to say it. Explicitly, you have to make it very clear. Throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, we find a very interesting phenomenon. Very basic verses that we all have heard 100,000 times, such as Dehi nosmin yatha dehe, komanam yovanam jara, ityadi. He repeats the whole verse in full, everywhere, from the first canto all the way up to the 10th canto, and his disciples whom he trained have carried out the same process. Because it is auspicious. And it is authoritative when we speak by reciting the Vedic literatures in this way. This is a function. In higher math, we have a function, right? F of x equals y, you can designate. Or f of x equals x, actually, we can say. A function of x is the same thing as x. So here we have this principle that we recite the Vedic literatures regularly. That means we hear them. It's a function of remembering Vishnu Smaranam. In the old days, when I was a brahmachari, Radha Damodar, we used to keep these index cards and we used to write so many verses on it. I'm sure that's how Vijaya knows so many verses. You can count on Vijaya Prabhu. He'll always have the Bhagavad Gita verse because he's deep. This is what we have to do. What is the meaning of Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Kori Aikya? Every day we sing. What is the meaning if we're not prepared to actually do this? Recite. Give the praman. Be explicit. It purifies the environment. It sets a proper example. And it is the austerity of speech. So these are the things that Baladeva Dabhushan says about that particular verse. Now, we find a few examples of this in the Bhagavatam, as I said. In the 10th canto, when Uddhava appeared in Vrindavan, the gopis saw him. And they were completely, they were focused. As soon as they saw him, they were just, oh my God, who is this person? He must be coming from Krishna. So, you can imagine all the things that are going through their minds. And each one of them is an individual. Each one of them has their own particular flavor of Krishna bhakti that Krishna enjoys so much. She cannot change that. So one gopi will react in one way, another gopi will react in another way, a third gopi. All the gopis are all individuals, just as we are. We all have our own particular mood, which Krishna enjoys. So when they saw Uddhava, here's what they did. This is at 10th canto, chapter 47, text number 3. Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune. So, the word here is used, sunritadipihi. Same word. That's why I'm citing this verse. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, just to give us a sense of the proper behavior, he gives the order in which they did all these things. He said, first, they invited him to a solitary place Because if you're going to discuss such intimate personal things, it has to be in confidence. So they took him to a solitary place. They offered him a seat because no guest should go without being offered a seat. They worshipped him. They bowed their heads. They smiled. They glanced at him shyly. They spoke very polite words. Then they asked their prashna. Then they asked their question. And you can imagine what kind of questions they must have had. So many questions, so deep. Their minds must have been raging. You can just only imagine. Actually, we can't imagine. But the more we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we get some glimmer. Their minds must have been entirely agitated. But this was their behavior. Now, I would like to contrast that with the example of another personality from Srimad Bhagavatam in the same 10th canto, chapter 49, text number 26. Here, we have a conversation between Akrura and Dhritarashtra. And Akrura has been speaking very wise words to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra replies as follows. O Master of Charity, I can never be satiated while hearing your auspicious words. Indeed, I am like a mortal who has obtained the nectar of the gods. The word here is used, tatapi sunrita somya hridinastiyate chale. And he goes on to say, even so, O gentle Akrura, because my unsteady heart is prejudiced by affection for my sons, these pleasing words of yours cannot remain fixed there, just as lightning cannot remain fixed in a cloud. Beautiful. This is poetry. Lightning never stays in a cloud for very long, isn't it? Always will leave the cloud. So he says in the same way, in the heart of a person who is materially infected, wise words will not remain there. They will have to go. He's very politely, very sweetly, the word is here used again, sundrata. He's using the same etiquette, the same sweet speech, but he's doing it with the opposite intention. He's trying to get out of surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, sometimes we see this, especially in India we see this. Dharma is the root of all cheating, he says. Dharma is the root of all cheating, he says. Because you can use it. What is the characteristic of dharma that allows you to cheat like this? Both the gopis and Dhritarashtra felt very strong emotions, but they acted the same way. They spoke in the same way. Why? Because satkara, this is another synonym, you know, proper behavior, etiquette, takes one out of one's own emotions. It elevates us, ideally, should elevate us above whatever it is we're feeling. This forces one towards the ideal that Krishna says endears us to him. Where does Krishna say this? What kinds of qualities does Krishna list in Bhagavad Gita that he says endear? Yes, chapter 12, around text number 15, I think it is. We can read very quickly because it's important. If we want to become dear to Krishna, we should know these things. He says, Yasman no dvijate loko lokan no dvijate chayaha. This is the same thing. Anudvega karam. You should not agitate another person. Harsham arshab hayo degayar mukto yasacha me priya. You should be freed from the influence of pain, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, etc. I'll go on to say, one who is equal to friends and enemies, equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness, distress, etc. Free from contaminating association, always silent, satisfied with anything, etc. All these things are here. One has to become equipoised. That is Brahman realization. And Brahman realization is the substrate of bhakti. It is the adhara, foundation of bhakti. without Brahman realization, your bhakti is what has been called bhakti abhas, a semblance of bhakti, a shadow, imitation bhakti. Or at worst, Srila Prabhupada calls it prakrita bhakti, material devotion. Who practices prakrita bhakti? Yes, the prakrita sahajiyas. Materialistic, they think that sahaja, it's just an easy thing. Automatically, I'm just imagining myself to be in the spiritual world, and I am. This is their conception. It's not like that. You have to work. It's not easy to become equipoised in this way. Prashantam, here the word is used. That is Brahman realization. So, Vidhi does this. In chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita, all the acharyas, beginning with Ramanuja Acharya, they all say that you will always be elevated if you follow dharma, if you follow a life based on vidhi. We discussed this last night, as Krishna says in the end of chapter 16. Tasmat chastra pramanam te karya karya vijanata. You should discriminate what to do and what not to do on the basis of what the shastra tells you to do and not to do. The injunctions are there. So this elevates us beyond whatever our minds are thinking. It moreover assures a smooth social interaction. Where does Krishna say this in Bhagavad Gita? Anybody know the verse I'm thinking of from chapter 3? Verse number 20. Karnama naiva hi samsiddhim asthita janakadayaha loka sangrahame vapi sampashyan kartamarhasi. Kings such as Janak attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating people in general, you should perform your work. Actually, loka sangraham means for the purpose of social solidarity. Sangraha means everybody together, cooperatively. This is what it means. Loka sangraham evapi, even if it's only for the purpose of keeping everybody together in harmonious society, you have to follow these vidhis. This is the point. And in the next verse, he makes the point that Prabhupada emphasizes here. It sets an ideal example. Even if we're imperfect, if we follow the vidhis of the shastra, we still set an example, no matter what our minds may be thinking or where our consciousness may be. If we follow, then we set the proper example. What is that verse? Yad yad acharati shreshtas ityadi. Okay. We're running out of time. So, this vidhi, life based on vidhi, is what is stressed always in the smritis especially. And Srila Prabhupada also took this approach in ISKCON. Those who were old devotees, way back in the 1960s, they know that in the beginning Prabhupada seemed to have very high expectations and seemed to be a little bit more on the raga side. But with time, he became increasingly strict about following vidhis and focusing on that approach to life in general. This is consonant with his instructions to implement Varnashram Dharma within ISKCON. He gave 80% of those instructions in the last 3 years that he was with us. And as I see it, at least, this vidhi sadachar, it affects what Prabhupada asked for in his final instructions. What were his final instructions? You cooperatively maintain ISKCON. Two things. Cooperate and maintain ISKCON. And the second thing he gave, you implement Varnashram. Because one, they're very closely related. You can't do one without the other. Without the vidhis, there's no ground rules that everyone agrees on to create this social solidarity or loka sangraha. So we need only hear from Srila Prabhupada in exactly the same way that Maharaj Parikshit was to hear from Shukdev Goswami. We read every day from Srila Prabhupada's books, hear every day, and then we get it after some time. Now, we're not so inspired, we're lazy, as we described last night, and we don't do this. This is the problem. It causes so much difficulty. So therefore, death is there. And death is a Krishna's arrangement to make us a little serious. Anybody who is over 60, you may be thinking like this. The time is coming. I have to do something about it. Well, am I ready for death? Death is for real. Everyone freaks out at death. Everyone. We talk very lightly about death, but when you're faced with it, my god brother Kshuti in Laguna Beach, he made a very nice analogy about this. To talk about death is one thing, but to hold a knife into a socket with wet hands, that's another experience altogether. The reality of death is not something that we can dispense so casually. Casual devotee means sahajya devotee. To embrace the fact that death is coming upon us sooner than we would like. It's always sooner than we would like. That inspires us to hear. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purport in this verse, he says a few things that bring to mind the Mundaka Upanishad again. Chapter 1, text 2, part 1, chapter 2, text number 12. Pariksha lokan karnamichitan brahmano nirveda mayan nastya krita kritena tad vigyan artam sagurumai vabhagatet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. What is the prerequisite? It's mentioned in that verse in the first half. What is the prerequisite for approaching a spiritual master? You have to have surveyed all possible avenues of life and come to a healthy sense of detachment by reasoning. There's nothing here that is not created by something, some action. And there's no reaction to that action that is not also going to be replaced by another. There's no substance here. When we actually see this, then he says, you can understand what is real truth by approaching a spiritual master. And how do you do it? Samit pani, with firewood in hand, ready to serve, as we're seeing here. So Maharaj Parikshit, he's bowing down once, he's bowing down twice, he's folding his hands, he's putting his head at the feet of Shukadeva Goswami, and he's speaking very sweet words. These are the components that teach us how do we hear submissively. I'm going to stop here. Do we have any questions or any comments on any of this so far?
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. What were the specific ways in which Tamal Krishna Maharaj acted, which you said were merciful? You didn't really get into details, but you said...
I'm not hearing what you're saying. Hold the microphone closer and speak slowly.
What were the specific ways in which Tamal Krishna Maharaj acted, which were merciful?
Where do I begin? Talk to me later. I have volumes in here, volumes. Okay. Or you can read his book, Servant of the Servant. Very wonderful book. It's recently been reprinted. Wonderful, wonderful book. Mataji. Microphone out of here.
Harihi Om. You mentioned about dharma being the root cause of cheating. Can you elaborate on that?
Krishna Kaviraj Goswami mentions that, yes.
Yeah, is there any way you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, because sometimes there's a saying in Sanskrit, ati bhaktihi chorasya lakshanam. Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. If somebody's too nice to you, if somebody's speaking, praising you, and you kind of have to wonder what's motivating him. You see? So in this way, as long as we all follow these basic ground rules of civilized behavior, it's impossible to tell what his motive is. Unless you have the kind of empathy that Krishna mentions in chapter 6, text 32, which I quoted. So that is the fruit of spiritual practice, to be able to see into one's heart. It's not so easy thing. Shukadeva Goswami can do that. This is explicitly stated back earlier in the first canto. So what is that? Sarva bhutas tam atmanam. I don't remember now, but he's able to understand. You see? So dharma covers your tracks. This is the point. You know, you may be a self-realized soul. You're doing exactly the same thing. That's why I gave the examples. The gopis are one side of the equation. Dhritarashtra is the opposite side of the equation. They're both doing the same thing.
So we have to be a little careful. Okay? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. You were mentioning that our words can be as sharp as the arrows. So it reminds me, there's a saying in China that 良言一句山东暖，物语伤人又也寒. That means sweet words makes your heart warm, even it is very severe cold during winter time. But harsh words will make your heart cold even during scorching summertime.
Shobham. Very nice. Thank you. Okay, anything else? All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay.